Each and every show, we tee it up with the folks from Talk Radio News here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Oh, he's just back from his honeymoon. Jeff Holtzman in the swing again in Washington, D.C. Jeff, is everyone busting your chops about your tan since everybody in D.C. is pasty white?
You know what? I am one of those pasty white people from D.C., but I actually have got a pretty sick tan in Jamaica, Kate. I'm not going to lie. And it's going to go away in a couple days, but I'm really enjoying it right now. So, yeah, I'm rubbing it into people.
All right, so congratulations. And Mrs. Holtzman, is she still happy?
She's still happy. She's, you know, we gave it a week originally, so we've exceeded that. And so we're both pretty thrilled about making it past the one-week mark.
All right, good for you. Hey, let's see from the White House today, a lot of different things. And, of course, the big buzz for the past week and a half, really, has been Obama's endorsement of same-sex marriage. And there was more, there seems to be more coming out every single day, more. I think he's raised like $21 million from the gay and lesbian community since he first made that announcement. What's the latest from the White House?
Well, the latest, and you might have seen this, but the president gave an interview to The View, which aired today. He was asked about his support for gay marriage, and he stood behind what he said last week. Which, you know, was when he came out and said that he is now fully supportive of it. And it's interesting because, you know, the president said that it basically mirrors his position that he had, you know, when he was younger, like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, which then sort of changed. And by the time he was in the Senate and running for president, he was a little more mushy on gay marriage. He didn't know if he supported it or not. At least, you know, he maintains that he always thought it was a state issue. But, you know, he said that at the time in 2008 that his position and his stance was evolving. Well, I guess it finally evolved, and he's come full circle back to supporting it. Now, it's interesting. He was asked about the Defense of Marriage Act, which, of course, is a federal law that defines marriage as being between a man and a woman. But he did not say that he would be willing to go as far as fighting to repeal it. And that's something that the gay community really wants to see done. It's not going to happen, you know, without the president's effort and without his lobbying for it and his blessing. But, you know, they were happy with him fighting to repeal the Don't Tell for military employees. They want him to go further now. I don't think it's going to happen this year. It could happen in a second Obama term. We'll have to stay tuned.
Yeah. The other big news, of course, is J.P. Morgan and their huge loss, the $2 billion, and lots of chitter-chatter about Obama's good friend, Jamie Dimon, how he's been up to the White House and the Oval Office for meetings and he's been there for state dinners and that kind of thing. So what was the latest from, like, Jay Carney? What's he saying now, the White House spokesperson?
Well, I do not envy Jay Carney this week because he has the unenviable position of having to essentially, you know, defend Jamie Dimon, who's the head of one of the largest financial firms in the world, and of course, you know, the head of the firm that just lost $2 billion trading on a trade gone bad. But he also has to call, you know, and make the case for greater regulation of the financial sector, and those two things are you know, sort of they go against each other seemingly. And it's a very awkward argument. What the president essentially, what the White House essentially is arguing is that, you know, a firm like J.P. Morgan, you know, they have trillions on their asset sheet. They're able to withstand the loss of $2 billion. But same can't necessarily be said for another smaller firm that might not have the same clout to back up a huge loss like that. And thus you need regulations in place to prevent them from making risky bets like the one that J.P. Morgan made.
Yeah. The president is meeting with the House and Senate leaders tomorrow. What's this about?
This is going to be interesting. He's meeting with John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, the whole gang. And officially, the White House says the meeting is a chance for them to talk about the to-do list that Obama created last week for Congress. He wants them to pass a series of incentives for businesses to hire more workers. Those would involve giving tax breaks and tax credits to certain businesses. He also wants to businesses to provide incentives for hiring veterans, and particularly wounded veterans. So that's something I'm sure they'll talk about. But also, they're going to talk about the debt limit. I know it because today John Boehner gave a speech in Washington in which he sounded off on the debt limit and his refusal to authorize another increase unless he gets spending cuts in return. And, of course, if this sounds familiar, it's because this is what we saw last summer when Congress took things to the brink. They dragged this out for weeks and weeks and weeks about raising the debt limit. And finally they did after they passed the Budget Control Act, which, you know, cut a couple $1 trillion of spending. It put that, you know, those automatic defense cuts into place, which could happen next year. And it also, you know, it eventually lowered the U.S.'s credit rating in the eyes of Standard & Poor's. So obviously the White House doesn't want to see that happen again this year. That's something that the president's going to have to talk to John Boehner and Mitch McConnell about, and they're all going to have to get on the same page. If not, then we could be heading for a similar fight and a similar showdown this fall, just weeks before the election.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is what Mitt Romney actually did when he gave a speech earlier in the day. Of course, what's he going to go after? And we know this. This is one of the things that you can tick off the top of the checkmark list, for, certainly all the way through, I think, this road to the White House. But he criticized the Prez for making the government bigger and being an enemy to free enterprise and business. Do you think this is resonating with Republicans across the board, and maybe it'll be potent in some of the swing states?
Well, I think that Romney's message today was targeted at a certain demographic of GOP, and that would be the Tea Party, because those are the folks that are really upset about the fiscal direction that the president has taken the country. They're upset about the size and the scope of government. They believe that the president has expanded the size of government and created new bureaucracy and created a ton of unfunded liabilities, particularly health care reform. And these are the folks that Romney, I think, needs, you know, to make an analogy, you know, President Obama reaching out to the LGBT community and the liberal wing of his party, this is like akin to that. Romney's reaching out to the fiscally conservative wing of the Republican Party and trying to get their support, and trying to convince them that he's going to do something about it. Because, frankly, it's easy to talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Romney says he'll do is repeal Wall Street reform. He mentioned that today. He also said he would repeal the health care law, you know, unless the Supreme Court gets to it first. So a lot of red meat for the fiscal hawks in the audience today out in Iowa. And Mitt Romney, I tell you what, not to take a position one way or the other on the speech, but I thought he had a really funny line. He said he was talking about the president, you know, growing the size of government. And he said, you know what, if the federal government was in charge of cell phones, all cell phones would have solar panels on them, and they'd be the size of a shoebox. Obviously, you can make it that way you will. It was a funny line, and it was good to see Romney open up with a little bit of sense of humor, because this is a guy who usually comes across as somewhat of a stiff out on the street.
Yeah, absolutely. He needs to do more of that. I'm glad you pointed that out. That was very, very funny. I tripped on that, too, today. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
All right, Kate. My pleasure.
So, Holtzie, talking about J.P. Morgan a little bit there, Obama's assets released in D.C. on Tuesday, $500,000 to $1 million invested in J.P. Morgan Chase. Jamie Dimon might not have been sailing around on the giant yacht in Tampa, but he was there for a shareholders meeting. And the idiot is backed again by the Morgan folks. This is after some wrong-way bets that led to $2 billion in losses. So you know what his reward was? $25 million package. $25 million package. And he stays. He stays as the chief executive. They gave him a pass. He's getting a pass all the way around. I knew I went into the wrong career. Coming up on the flip side, Boehner has a bone to pick, and Greece gone wild. Plus, I'll tell you how you can rant on things like Jamie Dimon next on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Let's go! Bucks barely down the street, the cripple went all over. No sound but the sound of speech. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip. To the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust, yeah. Hey, you're gonna get to do another one bites the dust.
We're going to talk about raising the ceiling again, the debt ceiling. It's deja vu all over again in Washington. So House Speaker John Boehner, who has that little high tea at the White House on Wednesday, says the Republicans are going to push for cuts and reforms much greater than the amount of a debt ceiling increase. It's ridiculous. It's, we're doing the same thing over and over again. A Band-Aid. We are just a box of Band-Aids away from sinking into the same mess that our friends in Europe are teetering on. So John Boehner, of course, has an opening and makes no bones about it, that it's irresponsible and you have to have cuts that are equal to the increases, and you have to stop the nonsense of the tax increases.
When the time comes, I will again insist on my simple principle of cuts and reforms greater than the debt limit increase. Allowing America to default on its debt would be irresponsible. But it would be more irresponsible to raise the debt ceiling without taking dramatic steps to reduce spending and reform the budget process. Any sudden tax hike would hurt our economy. So this fall, before the election, the House of Representatives will vote to stop the largest tax increase in American history.
Yep. All right. So let's not get that tax increase. I'm sick of talking about taxes. Probably some of you are getting appraisals in the mail. Guarantee you're sick of hearing about taxes, local, federal, and everywhere else. Just you just have to pay all the time. That's what I say. We're just ATM machines, all of us. And that's what it is, in and out, in and out. So how come we can budget? How come we can budget, but yet the people who represent us can't budget, and we are in the mess that we're in? And it is an easy punching bag to go off on the trillions of dollars that we are in debt. But why do we keep playing the same song, the same tune? You know, if this was some joint that I was hanging out on and the band on the stage was playing the same cover tunes, I'd be so out of there. If it was the only bar in town, I would be so out of there. I'd go sit somewhere on a parking bench to get away from the same tune over and over and over again. I don't know how many ways I can describe it, but this is exactly what happens. Congress now staring down the barrel of the same drama. Oops, we got to do something about the debt ceiling. Didn't we talk about this last time? Didn't the government almost shut down? And here we are singing the same tune. And it's an old tune. We're tired of it. Got to get the axe. Got to start swinging. Got to make some tough spending. Not spending. Have to make some tough cutting decisions. I'm so used to saying spending because that's all this administration does. You have to be able to do the two equally. I mean, Boehner's right. Forget politics. Strip him of his Republican title. The guy used to be Democrat anyway. It's not about that. It's that we cannot keep doing this same thing again. It's disastrous. What is Tiny Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, doing on the sidelines? He jumps in after hearing what Boehner had to say, and then he appeals to that we got to, you know, only Congress can act to raise the debt limit. We hope they do it this time without the drama and the pain and the damage they caused the country last July. No, buddy, you caused the damage. You caused the drama. This is your play. I'm sick of everybody trying to pass everything off in the government. You are the Treasury Secretary. We're not in that position. Why isn't he doing something? Like, this is a surprise. They didn't know that they were going to come back to the same thing again. Of course they knew they were going to come back to the same thing again. So once again, the looming debt ceiling crisis, this debate, is going to coincide with a whole bunch of other debates over, guess what? Unresolved tax and spending issues, including, yes, oh yes, the expiration of the Bush tax cuts. Didn't we already handle this? Okay, that's my rant. By the way, if you want to rant any time of day, it is so easy to do. I don't know why you aren't going there right now. Go to AmericaTonight.net. On the front of the website, you will see two icons for press 4. You can have any kind of phone. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have an iPhone. You don't have to have an Android. You can still get press 4. It's easy. You're not getting spam. You're not getting anything. You're just getting another link to this show, another way for you to interact where you can do it during the day. When you see something that makes you go crazy, you can let off that rant, and we might play it on the air. There's a good chance of that. We've been playing people's rants. Also, just by virtue of going there and getting the press 4 abilities to rant, you can enter into the contest for an iPhone. If you don't have an iPhone, who cares? You get $199, $200, and no strings attached. Trust me, I know all about this. This really is a free lunch, and it's a great way to keep in touch with the show. All right, so we move from our nonsense and deja vu to the same old song that we've been hearing about for a very long time, sadly, when it comes to the Greeks. And what a scary headline I woke up to. A buddy of mine texted it to me, copied what the head, you know, what the front page of a Drudge report said. And on the front page, it looked like Rome was burning. But no, it wasn't Rome. It was Greece. So what happened is you got a massive bank run that has slammed into Greece. It's not a surprise. Of course it's not a surprise. Because nothing has really been stable. They don't even have a government yet. They're trying to vote, and it's nobody's walking away with the majority. Yet the Greeks walked away with two giant loans to try to save them, keep them in the Eurozone. And how are they going to pay the money back? And the answer is they can't pay the money back. They can't pay it. So stocks on our exchange, the New York Stock Exchange, I'll use that one, were at a loss because of Greece. The S&P was at a three-month low. And I know you all are smart. You know what an S&P is. It's just, it's a microcosm of stocks, the S&P 500 group that would be similar to others pretty much, that are a real tick on the economy. So it's the ninth loss in the last 10 sessions. And why do you care? Because I know there's a few of you that have pretty good jobs and you're getting a decent 401k. Who knows? It's tanking. It's like a roller coaster ride. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. So with the news that Greek depositors withdrew 700 million euros from their banking system after the leaders failed to agree on a coalition government, that's what happened across the sea and on our shores, because it's the ultimate negative news. So people better get ready, because probably what's going to happen is Greece is going to be removed from the EU, and investors, I think, are trying to get a hold, you know, or get a handle on it, get a hold of this, but also get ahead of it before they have to, because our markets are politically driven. To see the decline that we're seeing, listen, we're just all going to have to work. We're just all going to have to work until we fall over at this rate. We really, really are. So I start the show with a couple of different things. Going to Washington, talking about big meeting at the White House with some key Democrats and Republicans. Then I rant about Jamie Dimon, who gets a shareholder endorsement of his pay package, which was huge, $25 million. And he gets to keep his job as chairman of the board, this following the $2 billion trading loss that could have taken money out of your pocket, my pocket, and the guy down the street's pocket, because of what the market did. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, my grandmother maybe wasn't so crazy after all, as she had jars and jars of money in a closet and didn't believe in banking. Even though she helped run a company, she didn't believe in banks. Man, grandma was pretty smart, I have to say. Coming up on the flip side, DVDs are out. The Gray, One for the Money, a couple of the highlights. Chronicle, another good one. You say, I have no idea what those movies are. I'm going to tell you about them. Plus, we're going to visit with Stephen Schohead on duets in film.
This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in. That's almost one per block. Will that one home be yours? Well, I found an amazing little gadget to keep the bad guys fooled, and it's called Fake TV. Fake TV is a low-cost, small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV. When you go on summer vacation, yes, get rid of the obvious signs you're away by stopping the mail and the paper, but go a step further in fooling crooks with Fake TV. At only $34.95, what? That can't be right. Yes, for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked and all your possessions gone. Fake TV simulates the light from a real TV and can be programmed just like a lamp on a timer. Use Fake TV in any room for just $34.95 and get additional Fake TVs for only $29.95. Go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV, 877-5-FAKE-TV, or go to FakeTV.com. For safety, security, and peace of mind, use Fake TV.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Attention, mindless criminals, thugs, and thieves. Go ahead, break a leg. American homeowners are fed up with your door kick-ins and forced entries. We now dare you to try your boot against any door reinforced with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel pack includes a steel door jam plate with 3.5-inch screws, a lock shield, and hinge shields. The Door Sentinel installs in minutes, securing any front, side, or back doors, even French doors. Criminals, be forewarned, your lake will break before the Door Sentinel will budge. Even if you have an alarm system, back it up with the Door Sentinel. Basic products starting under $20. Order your Door Sentinel today for your home, garage, or any building you own or rent at MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com or call 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Get your peace of mind back with Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel. Always on guard.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When the next disaster hits and the mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, you and your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. Easy as 123 to remember. 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video we've set up for Patriots only at 123survivalplan.com. Get inside information on the 37 food items that will sell out first when the next disaster strikes. This video contains crucial information you and your family need to prepare for any natural or man-made disaster. In the last 6 months, over 1 million other smart patriots have already seen this video. Prepare now. Go to 123survivalplan.com and learn which 37 food items you should hoard. Easy to remember, 123survivalplan.com. Again, that's 123survivalplan.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LaCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LaCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LaCig.com. And LaCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LaCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
What you put me through.
Barnabas, get over it.
Locked in a box for 200 years.
Don't exaggerate. It was only 196.
It was an eternity. I shall have you tried for witchcraft and
burnt at the stake.
Poor sweet Barnabas. Things have changed while you were taking your little nap.
That's a little snippet from Dark Shadows, which you can hear the voice of Johnny Depp. And, of course, Tim Burton was the guy who put it together. The female voice, by the way, was Eva Green. You've seen her as a Bond girl and a few other flicks as well. Each and every Tuesday we go to the Left Coast to talk to our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohat. He's the author of an incredible book. He is a great storyteller. The book is called Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, Kate, how are you?
I'm good. Did you see Dark Shadows by any chance?
No, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it yet.
I saw it and I liked it, but I think it's because I follow Dark Shadows in reruns, and the movie was really over the top. For anyone who knows what Dark Shadows was, they did the music and the looks and had all Tim Burton had all of that right, but it didn't do very well at the box office.
No, it did. It's not getting good reviews. Did you think it told the story well? Because that's one thing that Tim Burton's constantly getting criticized for is having great style, having great set design, obviously getting great performances out of Johnny Depp, but not having strong story.
No. I think if you knew nothing about Dark Shadows, you wouldn't follow it at all. You wouldn't know any of the backstory, and you wouldn't get it. If you can just jump into it, it totally makes sense. So I can understand why he'd be criticized.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've made 8 movies together, and they've made over $2 billion, so they'll probably get another chance to do more, and they have similar tastes. I mean, it goes back over 20 years to Edward Scissorhands, and the thing about it was, at that time, Johnny Depp, and we talked about this on the show before, he was absolutely miserable on the TV show of 21 Jump Street. In fact, he actually, when he got off that show, he compared his situation to Nelson Mandela. He said, "I'm finally free." He felt that it was keeping him from being in movies. And actually, when they did Edward Scissorhands, the studio suggested to Tim Burton that they should hire Tom Cruise. And he did talk to Tom Cruise, but that just didn't work out. And when he saw Johnny Depp, or when he met him, he felt that Johnny Depp had a certain sadness about him, because he just hated being a teen idol, or at least what he felt like a product, the way he was being marketed on 21 Jump Street. And he felt that he wasn't that way at all. And Tim Burton really felt that way, too, that there was much more depth to Johnny Depp than he was able to show. And he thought he'd be perfect for Edward Scissorhands. And ever since then, I mean, the two of them have just seen eye to eye. And Tim Burton has always said, when he does a project, he always thinks of Johnny Depp first. Although with Dark Shadows, it was a little bit different. That was Johnny Depp's project, and he brought it to Tim Burton. But usually it has worked the other way around.
Yeah, so they did 8 movies together, and there have been other teams of actors and directors where they wanted to work together, and you could tell they were looking for projects. Another one from this era would be Martin Scorsese and, of course, Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio. You can tell that he looks for projects, I think, for those two actors. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, with De Niro, of course, that was the older relationship, and they were both from the same neighborhood. And they actually met at a party in 1972 by a mutual friend of theirs named Jay Cox, screenwriter. And they said, "Hey, I know you. You're the one who hung out with that gang or whatever." And that was Scorsese's great interest, was gangs and religion. And he happened to be doing the movie Mean Streets, and he mentioned it to De Niro. And a couple months later, he hired De Niro for that part. And the two of them mostly had similar interests, although De Niro did turn down the role in the Last Temptation of Christ. That didn't interest him particularly. But you know, with De Niro, you have these stories about him. When he was in the movie Boxcar Bertha, his character died, and he wasn't needed anymore. And Shelley Winters. It's the movie Bloody Mama. I got that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Shelley Winters and the rest of the cast were doing the Robert De Niro's character funeral scene. And Shelley Winters was looking down in the open grave, and all of a sudden she said, "Oh my goodness, Robert, get out of there." De Niro, even though he wasn't on camera, was lying stiff and prone in the grave. The method acting.
Exactly.
This might not be true, but the story about the Last Temptation of Christ was when he prepared for the taxi driver and prepared for all the other roles and did months of research. He didn't know how he could prepare for the crucifixion scene, so he decided to turn it down. At least that's one version of the story.
Yeah.
But then, of course, De Niro was in the movie This Boy's Life with Leonardo DiCaprio years later, and he happened to mention Leonardo DiCaprio to Martin Scorsese when they were having lunch together, and then, of course, Scorsese ended up using Leonardo DiCaprio in Gangs of New York, and I think that's one thing that's really kept Scorsese going, despite the fact that he doesn't always have the biggest box office, is that young actors, especially DiCaprio, admire him so and want to work with him and maybe don't want to do like the normal big budget box office type thing. And so they just admire him, especially DiCaprio. I mean, DiCaprio wants to learn about film, and Scorsese makes him watch certain films before they do a project together, like made him watch Vertigo, the old Alfred Hitchcock movie, before they did Shutter Island, for example. And now they're working together on a new movie called The Wolf of Wall Street. So I think that, I think it works both ways. I think, sometimes you'll have the director giving the actor the opportunity, and then the actor, his star, might become bigger than the director's, but then the actor's grateful and wants to continue to work with the director.
Yeah, that relationship between the director and the actor, that can be pretty complicated. I mean, these are successful teams, but certainly there have been others that have blown up in the faces of the actor being labeled as difficult or the director as impossible. And I think, and you would know this better than me, the stories of, olden days in Hollywood, a lot of that came out. But I think they try to keep a lid on it now. Don't you think that?
Well, I mean, obviously it's a case by case situation where if there's money to be involved, then I think people can sometimes overcome their differences. I know that Blake Edwards and Peter Sellers, for example, often said they would never work together again. and then, a couple of years would pass and it would be time to do a new Pink Panther installment. And then they would seem to find a way through their differences. So I think, obviously everybody's going to run everybody, differently. Like Ridley Scott and Russell Crowe did not seem to get along during the making of Gladiator. But then after the movie came out and it did so well, and Russell Crowe won the Academy Award, he said that the person that I owe this to is Ridley Scott. So it's going to happen. I think when they're making the movie, maybe, and they don't see eye to eye, there can be a lot of tension. But after the movie comes out, especially if it gets some acclaim, then you can go on to the next project. Now, on the other hand, Steven Spielberg and Richard Dreyfuss at first seemed to have a really good relationship going with Jaws and Close Encounters, and they were like sort of male soulmates. And then for whatever reason, Spielberg, I think, not being totally happy with Richard Dreyfuss's salary demands, decided to go with other actors from that point on because at a certain point, maybe you don't want to do the sort of Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers thing. You don't want to be associated totally with one person and therefore be dependent on that person. So it can go in a lot of different ways. One of the nicer ones, I think, was Stanley Kramer was such a fan of Spencer Tracy. He used to work sort of backstage in the prop department at MGM. And then when Spencer Tracy was an older man and had difficulty with his health and difficulty getting insured, it was Stanley Kramer who put him in Inherit the Wind, Judgment at Nuremberg, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, and the movie he had to give up his salary for so Spencer Tracy could be in it because of insurance, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And I think Tracy was eternally grateful, and that's just the case of somebody being a fan and wanting to work with one of their idols.
Yeah, great example. Stephen Shohead, always fun to chat with you. We'll talk to you next week. And pick up his book, Hollywood Story, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. You can get it at Amazon. Thanks so much, Stephen.
Thank you.
All right, DVDs are out. And I said The Gray. Remember how much buzz this got? It was huge at the box office. Liam Neeson. And this is about Alaska, an oil drilling team trying to survive after a plane crash. And you guessed it, the wolves are after them. One for the Money. Stephanie Plum, Katherine Heigl's in this. She is an unemployed lingerie buyer. She turns into a bail bondsman. Can you imagine the havoc that then ensues? I actually saw this movie. It was cute. Albert Nobbs, Glenn Close, was up for an Academy Award. She dresses as a man. I'm not so sure about that. Meet us on the flip side.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our 1 year plus meat eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Tonight we're going to play a little game called Which is Worse? And you can throw in your two cents, but you can't linger. Don't be indecisive. You have to head to the phones, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-KATE. Which is Worse is the name of the game. Telemarketers trying to trick us in bypassing the Do Not Call deal so that they get through to your home when you signed up for Do Not Call, and somehow they get you. And then they ever notice when they get you on the phone, they don't stop talking. It's like they're just off to the races. They're all auctioneers. You cannot interrupt them. You have to hang up. So which is worse? The telemarketers with their little tricks, going by the theory of it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission, or John Edwards' defense throwing this nugget up, that he was just clueless about the money for his mistress. Even though he begged his number one aide to cover his tracks everywhere, forwards, backwards, and in between, and ultimately of all rags, the National Enquirer catches him in California with the woman seeing his love child. So he was clueless about money for the mistress and where it was coming from. I don't think I'm buying that. Or, which is worse? So we got Edwards saying he did not know, had no clue about that money. Telemarketers trying to trick us and bypass do not call. Or a boy who wants to play on the girls' team, but he's labeled as too good for the girls' team, is allowed to play anyway. See, here's the problem. If girls want to play on the boys' teams, then if the boy wants to play on the girls' team, yeah, it could get kind of confusing. There's a great gender argument in that one. So maybe it doesn't fit in, which is worse. Matt, what do you think? Which is worse? The telemarketer tricksters, Edwards claiming he had no idea about the dough that went to his mistress, almost $1 million, or the young boy who they said was too good for the girls' team, and they tried, a group of parents tried to get him off the team, but then eventually he was allowed to play. Matt doesn't have any opinion.
I go to the telemarketers.
Yeah, you go to the telemarketers?
Yep.
All right, see, I would have to go with the telemarketers, too. Because the do not call thing, none of us want the calls. We do not want to be hounded by telemarketers. And if you specifically sign up for do not call, that means do not call. So how they get around the registry is they have a phony political poll, and that's how they get in. It's a phone campaign called Political Opinions of America, and they've got a 3-question poll. Then they offer a reward that sounds like a timeshare sales pitch. There's an automated voice that asks you to complete a quick survey with a bunch of questions, and the questions include, how would you rate the job that President Obama's doing? What's the most important thing to restore the economy? Blah, blah, blah. And then they offer up to 4 free guests. They offer you this deal. And it requires a $60 per person port fee to be secured by a credit card. How many people are handing over a credit card when they get that kind of phone call? I mean, are you kidding? I call so foul on this. It is such a scam. Such a scam. They need to shut that down right away. You can't, and once you get on some kind of a list, you can't get off of it. I don't belong to Sam's Club. Maybe some of you belong to Sam's Club. In my own life, I can tell you every day I get a call from Sam's.
I'm a Costco guy.
Yeah, Costco. Costco's better. I wouldn't join Sam's Club after what they've done to me. For an entire 2 years, I am not kidding you, Sam's Club has been calling my house to tell me to come in a automated voice, come pick up the prescription. They don't say what the prescription is or whose name it is, but that we have a prescription waiting for us for $70.70, or sometimes the other amount changes. I don't have any prescription at Sam's Club. My husband doesn't have any prescription there. We've tried to get off the list. We've called them. They say they can't do anything about it. So I say, what, every day of my life until we unplug this phone, we're getting calls from your company? Are you kidding me? So I have a real problem with the whole automated thing. Anyway, I do. Now, the Edwards thing, I think he needs to go to jail. He just flat out needs to go to jail. Listen, I've already gone off on him. It's not even worth it for me to rant about him. But to say he's clueless about the money, if I were his defense attorney, somehow I would come up with a better way to ultimately present what I think is at the heart of why I'm getting my guy off. And it's not claiming complete innocence, that I didn't know anything about this so-called hush money. Because how could he not? I mean, there's pictures of him. There's footage of him owning up to, okay, yes, this is my baby and all this other nonsense. How could he not know? So he's trying to say that the aide got the money from the two rich donors and on his own wrote the checks. I don't believe it. There's just no way. He was using the money to hide his pregnant mistress during the 2008 presidential run. Come on. What are they standing on? Trying to say that they were legal private gifts and not illegal political contributions? Oh, that's a slippery slope. How many politicians could claim that when they got caught spending money on other things? Oh, no, that was a gift. from the Mellon family. That was a gift from another heiress we met somewhere along the way that's known my family for however long. Baloney. Baloney. They need to just nail this guy to the wall. He needs to do sometime. Come on. Sometime. All right, and the other thing that I talked about that I mentioned is the kid. This goes to the heart of the argument of the sexes, the battle of the sexes, women playing with the guys and vice versa. Before it was kind of a stunt because, okay, so if the girls are going to do that and we're going to have a girl kicker, then we're going to demand that a guy play on the basketball team or whatever. And then it gets all convoluted from there. It gets confusing. So if you're a parent on another team, soccer team, basketball team, whatever, and then a boy comes out, your daughters are 13 or 14 or whatever, and then you have a boy out there on the field, ugh. And this is field hockey. So after all the argument, all the nonsense, finally they decided, you know what, he's too good, but he can play. He's a star, but we're going to let him play. After all of the petitions, all of the letters, everything that has happened, and this is in Smithtown, New York, of course, and the biggest moment of Keeling Pelaro's field hockey career really happened off the field, and the reason why is because the athletic committee determined that at 13, he can keep playing on the girls' varsity team at Southampton High School for at least one more season. One more season. He's from Dublin, Ireland, and he has incredible skills, they say, superior to those of the girls. Well, if he were on my team, I'd be psyched. Because if he's superior and we can win, oh well. We have a boy on the team, so what, I guess. But if you're on the other side of this, probably not too happy. He scored 10 goals, 8 assists when he was an 8th grader playing on varsity last season. There are a lot of people supporting him, but there are also a lot of people that say he's taking the place of another girl that could be there, that could mean something for their future. I don't know, what do they give field hockey scholarships? I played field hockey for like one season when I was in high school. It was too rough for me. I got smashed in the head with a stick and I thought, this isn't for me. No way. I'll stick to tennis. Forget field hockey. Oh well. Any thoughts on the show, you can send them to me, americatonight.net, or go to Press 4. That's how you can get to us that way. Don't forget about the contest. If you go and you get the app and you say America Tonight Contest, you big dummies, you could win an iPhone or $200. No strings attached either. It's kind of like the John Edwards thing.